Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Oh, hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
The show about stuff we like that is good and that we are into. And that's the new direction. We've talked about sort of okay stuff that we're ambivalent about in the past. But this week, I think we should talk about things that we like and things that are good and things that we are into. I'm into you. Can I say that right now at the top?
Wow, thank you.
Really feeling you. Me and Henry went on this latest tour to Boston and Mashantucket. And it was we realized like right before the trip that it is the first time you and I have been apart in this pandemic. What? Like, I cannot remember.
I can't either.
It was so brutal.
And then you did it again this last weekend.
I did. I went on a trip to Houston with some friends, took in some art, took in some sushi.
The space.
Took in the Space Center, hung out with my good friends, Gus Grissom and John. Oh, shit. I can't remember the other guy's name. The Sandwich Space Boys.
Yeah.
On their Apollo 3 mission. Having a fun time and a delicious lunch up there in the cosmos.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me, the distance did make this damn heart grow fonder.
Oh, thanks, honey.
Do you want to say, about you don't have to. No, don't. Seriously, for real, like, don't worry about it. It's, I know how you feel about me. And it's like, okay. It's like, whatever, you know, like, it's so chill around here.
I did really miss you.
Yeah, sure.
Sorry.
Is something going on?
Oh, I'm trying to prepare my thing.
You should have done that before. Oh, your small wonder.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Are you Googling?
I can't remember.
Things I like. Things Rachel likes.
No, I couldn't remember what it was called because it has a very long title.
Okay, what is it?
The woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window.
How is it?
I really enjoyed it. So this is the Kristen Bell kind of spoof on...
Love a spoof.
On like the true crime, murder mystery kind of stuff, yeah. The phenomenon. And I was worried it would be a little too like Scary Movie, like, haha, and this trope.
By which means so fucking funny that you bust up so hard.
And I watched the trailer and I was like, I don't know, it's still kind of risky. I really enjoyed it.
No, good.
Yeah, because it kind of like, it does stand up as like kind of a good murder mystery.
Okay.
I mean, the outcome is pretty silly, but I found myself compelled each episode. I mean, it is very funny.
Yeah.
But I would recommend it if you're kind of on the fence about it.
I have two. I want to give a special mention to Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Because the half of the fourth season's out. I guess the next half comes out on July 1st. And we were so cool on it. Like when season four dropped, we were like, not really. I don't really know if that's something I really care about.
Yeah.
And it was so mystifying as to why I felt that, because I loved the first season, kind of liked the second season. Well, and I didn't remember how I felt about the third season, but I really liked it too.
I will say, like, we have been hesitant because we have such a short amount of time at night.
Yeah.
And that time at night is so unpredictable to watch anything that's going to be kind of dark and unsettling.
Yep.
Which it is.
This season goes it pretty is, deep in the paint.
Stranger Things, like, the cast and the tone, like, can be so delightful.
Just a glut of characters. And I think that coolness was because it has been 3 years since the last season came out, which is a ridiculous amount of time to go between seasons of television or anything. But I'm really liking it.
The most recent episode we watched had some, like, flashbacks to the early seasons. And it is just remarkable how
babies. Little babies.
These children have grown.
I know. I also want to shout out Foam Roller. When I was in Houston visiting our friends Clint and Natalie, Natalie was like, you got to try this. You got to try this foam roller. I was like, what is that beautiful little cylinder? She's like, put your back on that and roll. And I was like, wow. That was the noise that my body made involuntarily.
We've invested so much in like
back health,
back massage products. And I thought for sure we had a foam roller, just assuming.
Nope.
But no, we didn't.
I am 5 inches taller. My eyesight has improved. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's just so good. Can I do a third one? Can I do a third small wonder?
Sure, let's go for it.
In my drive to Houston, it's what, like a three-hour drive there and 3 hours back, I started listening to the latest season of Dimension 20 called A Starstruck Odyssey. I was telling you about it a little bit. That's Brennan Lee Mulligan and company, the thing they do for Dropout at College Humor. It's an actual play thing. And it is probably my favorite actual play thing I've ever really tuned into. It is delightful from the jump. It is fan-fucking-tastic.
Brennan has such a sensibility that I feel like is so similar to you and your brothers.
Yeah.
That it's just like, it's very like soothing. You like, you trust him entirely.
Yeah.
And you're just delighted.
And the cast is just like out of control. It's mostly folks, I think, from Fantasy High. And man, it's just so good. It's so good. I cannot recommend it enough. Go listen to it. Even if you only kind of like actual play stuff, it is such a treat from start to finish.
Yeah, I bet.
Okay. I go first this week.
Okay.
I want to talk about a computer, software, an instrument, a little doohickey called the vocoder.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, it is amazing how many things you like.
Okay.
I say that because
I could leverage that at you. We have gone pretty much blow for blow here on Wonderful.
Well, it's just every time you bring something up, I'm like, surely we've covered that because that's something you like so much.
I do like a vocoder.
And I realize like, oh no, he just likes a lot of things.
I do. I've been diving back through my Spotify playlists from past years, and I just stumbled back onto and became deeply obsessed with Bon Iver's 2016 album, 22 A Million. And it is, I'm feeling a little bit, I'm excited and nervous about the move and stressed, but also like a little bit melancholy, like a little bit like bittersweetness.
I should hope so.
And I find that this album is really meeting me where I'm at right now. I don't know how deep into it you got. I loved all of his albums that came out before that. For Emma Forever Ago was like, I had that on for months when that album first came out. But 22 A Million is a really wild, conceptual, sort of futuristic thing that is like laced with these very like Bon Iver style, pretty acoustic melodies and falsetto singing. And then also just these booming robot choirs from the like very complicated vocoder.
Do I know this?
22 A Million? I don't know. So this came out around the time that I think it was his next album after he won the Grammy and started to collaborate with a bunch of people. He did a song on Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy with Kanye, and I think maybe even a couple other things with Kanye. But this sound kind of became his trademark sound, and just kind of flourished from this album on. And so he had dabbled with this sound, this vocoded sound in the past, but in 22 A Million, it just goes beast mode. And I want to play a song off of that album called 715 Creeks with like sigma signs instead of E's.
Okay.
Because it's a very weird album. And I'll play a little bit of it now.
Low moon down the yellow road, I remember something. The leaving wasn't easy, all that heaving in my rides. And I'm certain that it's evening, and it's now, or it's not the time.
It sounds like if Bon Iver had a robot brother.
Or like 15 robot brothers. There's a lot happening there sort of harmonically. It's like some of the best vocoder in the business. It's actually a special proprietary like effect chain, like hardware and software effect chain called the Messina, which is named for the sound engineer who designed it for Bon Iver.
Chris Messina.
Yes, exactly. From Loggins and Messina and Iomo. Probably not. Probably not. It's just like a bunch of effects that he triggers with a keyboard while he sings, which then runs it just through all of these different patches and returns these like super rich, like wet layers of vocoder harmonies. And it sounds so amazing. He got some shit when that album came out because it was, you know, he uses it so much that it becomes maybe a little gimmicky at times. But I am such a sucker for it. I think it sounds so cool, especially like in a car with the bass kind of up, hearing the like really deep parts of the harmony, like rattling your buttocks. It's really, really incredible. You've
played around with this before, right?
A little bit. So mostly I did, what's a good Vocaloid, which is a different thing. That's like where you use computer software to like synthesize singing from nothing. There's no dry signal. There's no input from you singing into the microphone. Like, it is all created from... I've never really messed around with a vocoder, although it is pretty easy to kind of get plugged in. This is a variant on a type of vocoder called a prismizer, like prism miser, and it is just like, it lets you sing while you play a keyboard, and then the notes you play on the keyboard, it creates your voice along with it, like in real time, which is basically just like what a vocoder does, but, you know, more complicated, more voices sort of coming back at you at once. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the song that took the OC and then SNL and then The World by storm, which is Imogen Heap's Hide and Seek.
Yes.
It has been so thoroughly memeified, and I understand that. It had special significance to me because I watched the OC before the whole Dear Sister thing happened on SNL. And so, like, when that sketch dropped, I was like, how are my worlds crossing in this way? And then everybody was like, did you see that? Did you hear that? You remember that song from the SNL sketch? And I was like, no, it's the song when Marissa Cooper shoots Trey. Anyway, I'll play a little
spoiler.
I mean, that show's 100 years old. I'm going to play a little bit right now.
Spin me round again and rub my eyes. This can't be happening when busy streets stop to hold their heads heavy. Hide and seek.
You know that song though, right?
Yeah. I went through like a big phase.
You
like,
loved Imogen Heap.
Well, I mean, enough that I like downloaded discrete songs. Yeah. When I was in Chicago 2006, 2007, I rode my bike a lot. And I'd always get out my iPod mini, nano, whatever, and just jam on my bike. And so, yeah, that was in the playlist.
She was at the vanguard. She was a pioneer in this like prismizer sort of style of electronic music. Fun fact, that song dropped as a single from an album she released in 2005, the same exact day that the episode of The OC that it was featured in aired.
Wow.
The OC was always at the cutting edge and also launched a million ships of like, not that Imogen Heap, you know, arguably needed the boost at that point, but then holy shit, I remember hearing that, I want to say two or three different movie soundtracks, that same song was on all of them. And even though it's like a, you know, a gag at this point, I still love that song. It still gives me like goosebumps every time I hear it.
For sure.
So that is the Prismizer, which is sort of an evolved version of a vocoder. And a vocoder, strictly defined, is a machine that takes vocal input and returns it in a digital format. So, like, it wasn't a music thing when it was first invented. It was invented in 1938 from a Bell Labs engineer named Homer Dudley. It was literally used for what it says on the tin, like recording voice and returning it in a non-analog format. And it was actually, like, a huge step forward for telecommunications. Like a lot of different sort of like codecs and stuff like that sprung forth from this invention that was not inherently used for music.
What was the value of it?
I mean, it was a machine that recorded your voice and could turn it into a digital thing.
So for like character work or like,
or for just recorded voice. I mean, it was instead of recording to tape or any kind of analog format, it could return.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't have enough technical know-how.
Yeah.
But it stands apart. It's the difference between using an audio cassette to record your voice and a like digital voice recorder to record your voice.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out like what the intended purpose was initially.
Yeah, this is 1938. That's wild to me. Yeah. That seems way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
And so many inventions came out of that. The 60s were a really cool, foundational, fun time for electronic music because it was so theoretical and it was so like cutting edge of technology that it was being like, it wasn't happening in someone's basement. It was like happening in laboratories and it was happening at universities in like departments specifically founded around the synthesis of sound and music. I think that's really cool because like obviously it has graduated from that to become this like infinitely accessible thing that even a decade later like people were doing all kinds of wild shit with. In 1968, the first like real-time solid-state vocoder for music was invented by none other than Robert Moog, who is arguably like the most important figure in all of electronic music. And that's why so many synthesizers carry the Moog name. And he was the first one to get the vocoder off the ground alongside so many other sort of things with synthesized electronic sound. It obviously like it is a thing that you can do a whole lot with, and it is a broad category, right? Like auto tune, I guess you could qualify under this. And certainly we had auto tuning music is still a very common standard practice in the music industry, but in the early 20 teens it was very prominent and it was very like not something they were trying to disguise. It was a feature and not a bug. And you know, like T-Pain made a lot of money off of that specifically. But the vocoder has been used for music for forever. Like fucking Mr. Blue Sky by ELO uses a vocoder. Yeah. Like there's so many different artists who have done so many different incredible things with it. And it has only like continued to evolve. And like this 2016 album from Bon Iver with the Messina, that's nothing I've ever heard before. Before that album came out. So it's still kind of evolving and people are still finding cool things to do with it. And I think that is rad. So, and I don't care. You know what? I don't care who disagrees with me.
Okay.
I see you over there. You're looking at me like, I like the real deal. Give me a beautiful opera performance.
You know, just acoustic, unplugged, you
know? Unplug it, you know?
Yeah.
To snap, cut the wires. Cut yourself free. Experience the true sound.
Put a hat on the ground, you know?
Put a hat right on the ground.
Make your money that way.
And make money on. Oh, I thought you meant just like in protest.
No, I'm just saying like take it to the street.
Busk it.
You know?
Busk it and bust it.
Mm-hmm. That was my motto.
That is you. That's still, you said that to me yesterday. Can I steal you away?
Yes.
+10 987654321. Blast off into wealth and financial security and responsibility with Rocket Money.
Oh, that's the countdown.
The countdown is for the rocket. Uh-huh. They have to do that because if not, people stand under the rocket of Rocket Money. They get all burnt up dead.
Yeah.
So powerful is the force of this fuel as it's oxidized and ejected. But for you, some people get burnt up by the rocket, but you're going to save a buttload of money on things like subscriptions you don't need anymore that maybe you didn't know you had anymore that Rocket Money can not only identify for you, but also help you get them canceled.
I also get these little notifications that are like, hey, did you know that you spent this much money on this very particular online store? And I'm like, whoa, I am spending too much money in that online store. I would not have noticed it otherwise.
Rachel's candle habit was putting us out of house and home.
Do you know you're spending $750 a month on candles?
Well, not no more, because Rocket Money showed you the error of your ways. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. That is wild. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. We have a couple of jamble jars here, and I would love to read the first one if I may be granted permission to do so, please.
Yes.
This one is for Adrian. It is from Aaron, who says, happy birthday, Adrian. I hope things are going better at the city, and I hope you know how glad me and Freddie are to have you in our lives, helping us with our weird brains while we try to help you with yours. We should go to Hearst Castle again soon, now that these unprecedented times are hopefully mostly over. That is quite an adventure. Do you know about Hearst Castle?
No.
Dracula lived there.
Oh.
Dracula lived there.
Okay.
Scary. Scary man. Do you know about his work?
The cape.
He's got a lot more going on than just a lot of people wear capes.
The teeth.
The two teeth mm-hmm. that he uses for biting and the eating of the flesh.
Good. You're so good at that.
Yeah. Very scary castle. Good luck. Bring a whip and a cross and holy water. Do you want to do this next one?
Yes.
Okay, good.
This is for Laura. It is from Stevie. Laura, my sweet baby sister, what can I say besides thank you for introducing us to the McElroy Extended Universe and for just generally being the coolest sibling I could ask for? I'm incredibly proud to be your sister, and I can't wait until our next long overdue trip to PGH. I'd say you're going to be amazing, but let's face it, you already are.
That's so sweet. And of course, you know what PGH stands for.
Oh,
Garbanzo. What's the last part of it again? What's the H stand for? I know it's Pepper Garbanzo.
Hen.
They're going to Pepper Garbanzo Hen. That's my favorite sort of poultry and pepper.
It's like
and
White Hen.
Restaurant.
It's like White Hen in Chicago, you know?
Yes.
But
more peppers and beans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hal Lublin here with breaking news on a revolutionary form of entertainment, professional wrestling. For more, we go to our correspondent, Danielle Radford.
Professional wrestling is the craze that's sweeping the nation, featuring fisticuffs and colorful costumes.
But who can help us make sense of this world of body slams? Lindsay Kelk has the answer.
Sources tell us of an amazing podcast called Tights and Fights, filled with discussions of the absurdity of professional wrestling, plus all the sincerity and hilarity that you could shake a stick at.
Listen to the Tights and Fights podcast every week.
Find it on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
And your old-timey radio.
Hey there, I'm Ellen Weatherford.
And I'm Christian Weatherford.
And we've got big feelings about animals that we just gotta share.
On Just the Zoo of Us, your new favorite animal review podcast, we're here to critically evaluate how each animal excels and how it doesn't, rating them out of 10 on their effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics.
Guest experts give you their takes informed by actual, real-life experiences studying and working with very cool animals like sharks, cheetahs, and sea turtles.
It's a field trip to the zoo for your ears.
So if you or your kids have ever wondered if a pigeon can count, why sloths move so slow, or how a spider sees the world, find out with us every Wednesday on Just the Zoo of Us in its natural habitat on MaximumFun.org.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready?
Yes.
My topic, artificial turf.
Artificial turf.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. whenever I go to any kind of play place and I see they have artificial turf on the ground, I'm like, I can just chill. I can relax now.
Yeah. When you took Henry on tour, my whole objective was to take Gus places that were outdoors.
Yes.
So as to keep him from the germs.
Yes.
And also that I could just kind of let him go, that he wouldn't get dirty, because he doesn't really wear the shoes.
No.
You know? And so I specifically sought out like turf playgrounds, and there are a lot
a
now.
A lot.
Yeah. People like me are looking for that.
Oh, I thought that was the end of that sentence. People like me.
People, unrelated.
I don't know if you know this, Greg.
Unrelated. People like me.
Yeah.
And I was curious about this stuff. I thought it was like made for the sports. Like day one, let's make it for the sports.
What, like mini golf and
no, like the football. The football and the baseball.
I mean, are those not real grass fields most of the time?
There's some turf out there.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, it was developed specifically for urban areas for the kids.
Okay.
So, I mean, it does go back to war, of course.
Everything does. The vocoder was actually invented in World War II as a way. No.
Okay. So during the when they were recruiting for the Korean War, the U.S. Army noticed that individuals from rural areas were more physically fit than their urban counterparts. And so they, in the 1950s, they were looking to develop outdoor play space.
Okay. This just got pretty sinister, pretty fast.
Right? Like, how do we get more people physically fit so we can put them
in war?
In battle.
That's the, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. The shine, I will be honest, babe. The shine has come off the AstroTurf apple.
So it's interesting that you call it that. Initially, it was called Chemgrass.
Chemgrass.
Which also adds to this kind of dystopia.
Yeah, for sure. It skyrockets the dystopian sort of rating of this, idea.
First installed large scale at a school in Rhode Island in 1964.
Come, children, play on the Chemgrass.
The Chemgrass.
Become soldiers on the Chemgrass.
The reason you called it AstroTurf, though, is in 1965, the Houston Astrodome was built and conditions were such that they could not keep grass alive.
Because it's in Texas.
Well, and the overhang, right? Like, isn't the Astrodome, like,
yeah,
you know, like, closable?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know if it was in 1960, yeah, whatever, but...
But, yeah, so they just couldn't keep anything alive, and so they were looking for some kind of turf.
Interesting.
And so 1966, they began playing on Chemgrass.
So with, this sucks. This is a good segment and I love this stuff, but it's conceptually, it sucks.
Well, only because I started calling it Chemgrass, right? You didn't feel so strongly about it.
No, I loved it until you told me that the military invented it to make stronger children.
I mean, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? It is soft when you fall down on it, you don't get hurt. You don't
a
get
a lot
dirty.
Of good inventions have come out of the need to put people in battle.
Here we are.
The military has driven.
You
got
to break a few eggs to get a safer child playground.
Driven a lot of inventions. And here we are.
Here we go.
Okay. So AstroTurf. As you and I would know it. The first iteration, pretty hard, and not particularly forgiving. There's a lot of burns and blisters from like the friction of the turf. Just the sports, the balls would bounce a lot harder and roll faster on the surface.
That's fun though. That makes the sport more fun, doesn't it? Not the rug burn as much, but the speed of the ball. Love that.
I will say I read something where an individual that played sports on it talked about like you could guarantee that you would get good traction on every play. Like grass is kind of unpredictable depending on the weather, but at least you know you knew what you were dealing with turf.
That is hockey has illuminated how important that is.
Yes.
Because you will watch hockey games where you're like, everyone's doing a pretty shitty job today. And it's like, oh, that ice looks bad.
That puck is bouncing
that
everywhere.
That puck is bouncing all over the dang place.
I'll also say, and I have noticed this, I don't know if this is still true in like the big leagues, but when I take Gus to a turf playground, you really have to find the shade because the olden days, at least in sports, and what I still notice on playgrounds, it gets very hot.
Yeah.
It does not have the same cooling effect as grass. And so you really have to be careful. I once took Gus to a playground in the afternoon and it was just like, I had to corral him to like a very small shady space because there was nowhere he could put his hand without. Gosh,
I do like that about grass. When was the last time you just like laid down in some grass?
I don't know.
It's been about 6 years for me.
I don't know. I mean, it's been a little more recent than that for me. When we go to a lot of the neighborhood pools, they have like a grassy.
Yeah, but I always put a blanket down on that because our neighborhood pools also have a lot of neighborhood ants.
That's true.
I'm just talking about me and nature.
Evolution of turf, 1970s. There was a new version introduced as shag turf because it was the 70s, I guess, and everything was shag.
Called Kim Grass Deluxe?
No.
Okay.
No, I think at this point everybody is kind of calling it AstroTurf.
Okay.
Although, I mean, I imagine still, you know, it's like Kleenex. Like
DARPA
still...
DARPA still calls it Kim Grass in their deep fucking shadow compound.
So the new material is polypropylene, which is less abrasive and looks like a little nicer.
Just call it that. Come kids, let's play on the polypropylene.
The tufts were spread more widely apart to look more like grass.
Love a wide tuft.
So this second round was better for like field hockey, but wasn't as great for soccer because it was just the ball was just different.
Yeah.
You know, like you train on grass and then you get out there and it's just all goofy.
Yeah.
And then 1990s is when we changed polypropylene to polyethylene.
Upgrade. Glow up. I don't know what that means.
Longer fibers.
Oh, sure. How are the tufts, though? Still pretty wide?
I mean...
This is
like when we purchase an artificial tree and you're like, how many points though?
You can't pretend that now that doesn't matter to you.
No, it's true.
Of course it matters to you.
And also less stress on players' joints with the good traction. So as I mentioned, like early turf, like not great for the injuries.
Yeah.
But now we've got some good stuff out there.
Yeah.
It is very expensive. So when we were looking to kind of rehab our green space out back, which we cannot keep green, I was like, what about turf? And the gentleman I was talking to was like, it's like four times as expensive. I mean, which makes sense, right? Like you don't replace it. Like
yeah.
looks good. Low maintenance, obviously, but pricey.
I don't love it at the home. I like for all of our many ecological troubles at this house that we live in for a few more weeks. I do enjoy the naturalness of it. Even though parts of it have been run roughshod over by Mother Nature.
Yeah.
It is, I don't know, it's neat.
Yeah, and I will say, so another problem with turf that I found is it really kind of destroys the biome underneath, obviously. It's just like putting a big plastic tarp down on some dirt and like, you know, but it's nice for a play space.
That is true.
I like it a lot. I think it looks good.
I like you a lot. I think you look good.
I'm
telling you, man.
You're going hard today.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And
thank you
for listening. And thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to it in our episode description.
And thank you to Maximum Fun.
Oh, Maximum Fun. There's all kinds of good shows on Maximum Fun.
Yes. I was dipping into Jordan Jesse Go.
Dipping into Jordan Jesse Go.
Yeah,
dip your toes into the cool, refreshing waters of Jordan and Jesse.
They get some great guests on
as
there.
They go. We are going to be doing some more shows later in this year of ours, San Diego, Portland, and Salt Lake City. That tour is almost actually sold out. Hey, thanks a lot, ooh, West Coast. Dope. Really do appreciate
that. I have never been to Portland or Salt Lake City or San Diego, so I'm very excited about this tour.
You're going to have a hell of a time. Yeah. It's going to be a hoot. I adore all three of those cities.
Very pretty out there.
It's so pretty.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can find links to that at McElroy.family. We also got shows coming up in DC, Detroit, Cincinnati, and maybe a couple other places. I'm not 100% sure, but keep it locked there. We have stuff at McElroyMerch.com too. Always adding more stuff there every month. If you enjoy any of our shows, I bet you'll find something that you'll enjoy. Or if you have a special someone in your life who likes our stuff.
Yeah, you know those people with the summer birthdays, you know?
It's hard.
It's hard, right? Like, everyone's traveling, or, like, you're not in school, and you like, never get to celebrate your birthday, and give them something
to talk about.
The McElroy family to brighten their day.
We should make a new shirt that says Bus Getting Busted on it, and it's just, there can just be a hat, but
it seems a little Ghostbusters, I'm going to be honest.
I mean, sure. What about Ghostbusters? And it's like a...
Oh, that's something.
Spectral jam band.
I like that a lot.
In the streets of New Orleans.
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you for listening. Thanks for being here. Thanks for listening to us. Thanks to you. Thanks to me.
Thanks for continuing to give us an opportunity to do this show.
Yes.
It is very difficult to feel positive and grateful for a lot of things right now.
But it gives me strength.
But this show helps me focus on what I like, and that I am grateful for an opportunity to do that.
Me too. I have been thinking of nothing else but foam rolling out my back since the beginning of the show. So may we be excused from the table.
Are you asking me?
I'm asking the audience. I'm asking the listeners. Hold on, listen. Thank you. Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.